Turn over to Mark 14, please. Mark 14. I'm going to start in verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. They were glad when they heard this and promised to give him money. And he began seeking how to betray him at an opportune time. Drop down to verse 27. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.' But after I've been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away, yet I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times." But Peter kept saying insistently, "Even if I do die with you, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they were all were saying the same thing also. Drop down to verse 43. Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard." Verse 45, after coming, Judas immediately went to him saying, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They laid hands on him and they seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Verse 66. As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. Verse 67. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Nazarene." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you were talking about." And he went out onto the porch. The servant girl saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, "This is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean too." But he began to curse and swear. That's kind of funny, isn't it? Been with his master for 3.5 years and he's cursing and swearing. "I do not know this man you are talking about." Immediately a rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he began to weep. My question to you is, and my title of this sermon is, "Your Reaction." When things get difficult, how do you react? You know, keeping a cool head is relatively easy when things are going smoothly, no problems. But what happens when the unexpected occurs? When things don't go as planned, how do you respond? My wife can tell you how I respond. I hate the way I respond sometimes. But nevertheless, you do respond. When the pressure's on and you feel pressed on every side, do you sometimes do or say things that you later regret? I doubt it, right? All of us have experienced a failure to consistently respond in a Christian manner. All of us have, no doubt, said and done things we wish we could have done a redo. Pressure has a way of getting to us, and it's always been our enemy. In Mark 14, we see the responses to Christ by those around him when the pressure was on. His death was near. He knew his death was near, but the disciples did not. And at this point, the opposition against him was vicious. It is during these times that loyalty is tested and the depth of our conversion and our character and commitment is. You know, it's interesting to study the actions of these people involved in Christ's death. If you look at the story, there's Mark, who's the writer of the gospel, who may have been the young man, who followed Jesus at a distance. And when recognized and seized by his cloak, left his cloak and he ran away naked. Mark was scared. There's Judas, who betrayed Christ. There's Peter, who said he wouldn't deny him, but he did deny him. There's Caiaphas, who was the plotting religious leader. And there's Pilate. He was the man who was caught between loyalties. There was Barabbas, the criminal, set free as Jesus took his place. There was Simon, the Cyrenian, who was made to carry Jesus' cross. The soldiers who were only doing their duty. And the centurion who, in the middle of doing his duty, saw the Son of God. At the foot of Jesus' cross, all the Marys were there, crying, weeping. And, of course, there was John, who loved Jesus. There was Joseph of Arimathea, who went into Pilate to claim the body and gave his tomb for Jesus' burial. And last but not least, there was Jesus, and he's at the center stage, who gave his life for us on that horrible stake. All of these people reacted under pressure. Now, they reacted in different ways. And how we react under pressure is really, really very important. What would you have done had you been there as the opposition grew towards Jesus? How would you have reacted when the soldiers came by that night to take Jesus? What would you have said? What would you have done? Would you have stood there and confessed that Jesus Christ was your Lord and Master? Or would you have denied him? And if you did deny him, what then? Is there forgiveness for those who fail? I mean, we can consider all of the reactions to Jesus' persecution today, but I really want to look at two. I want to look at Judas and Peter. And I want to ask two questions. The first is, what would you have done had you been there in the middle of that opposition to Jesus Christ? And the second is, what are you doing today in the middle of the attitudes of opposition at the workplace and in the society in general? Are you embarrassed about what you believe? What would you have done then? They were all embarrassed. They were frightened. They wanted to get as far away from him as they could. If you had been there at the time of the mounting opposition and the ridicule to Jesus, what would you have done? How would you have responded when the pressure was on. So let's look at the case of Judas. He's a really interesting study in human nature. What we see in Judas, we also see in ourselves at times. We see in him attitudes of selfishness, greed, lust for power, confusion, depression, and betrayal. Now, obviously, none of us are like this all of the time, but at times we can see in the mirror of Judas our own reflection. Look at his situation. Judas was one of Jesus' disciples. Jesus himself had chosen Judas. He was the only disciple that was not a Galilean, and maybe he felt slightly out of place because of it. He was a member of a nationalistic Jewish sect that dedicated to the overthrow of Rome. And he had been made a leader, the treasurer of the group. In any case, he followed Jesus, and I'm sure that he loved Jesus in his own way. There's no doubt in my mind that Judas wanted Jesus to be the Messiah. But of course, his view of what the Messiah would accomplish was far different than Jesus' view of what the Messiah would accomplish. Judas saw the Messiah as a national hero, leading in the overthrow of Rome and the establishment of a physical and political kingdom. I think they were all looking for that, but especially Judas. But Jesus, when he was talking, about dying on a cross, about giving his life to redeem mankind as a ransom for many. Jesus had been talking about a kingdom that's coming instead of an earthly one. And I'm sure all of this was very confusing to Judas. How could the Messiah die and deliver Israel? That made no sense. This was not something that Judas wanted to hear. Maybe it was because Judas believed Jesus was the Messiah that he did what he did. He tried to force Jesus' hand. Judas took matters into his own hands by betraying him, Jesus Christ, to his accusers. And we don't really know exactly why, other than Satan entered into him and prodded that along. We can only speculate at this point. But the evidence seems to indicate that Judas felt that if he could force a confrontation between Jesus and Rome, maybe an all-out revolution would occur. With Jesus Christ leading the Jewish opposition. Maybe even calling legions of angels to overthrow the Roman occupation. It could have been that Judas thought nothing could really hurt Jesus. Whatever the situation was, Judas had a victory theology which didn't allow for Jesus' death. In any case, Judas betrayed Jesus. And maybe, as I've said, Judas was trying to force Jesus' hand. Maybe he was impatient with him. Have you ever felt that way? Is God ever too slow for you? The worst prescription to hear is that something will take time. But yet we do have to wait. And Judas may have felt that Jesus was not his kind of Messiah. And so he felt the need to force Jesus into his mold. And Jesus was not fulfilling his expectations, and so something had to be done. And so for 30 pieces of silver, Judas betrayed Jesus. He betrayed him with a kiss. And the soldiers took Jesus away, and you know the story. And when Judas saw the result of his decision to play out, the decision that he had made play out before him, when he saw the outcome of his choice, he regretted it. He regretted that action. He tried to back out of the deal, but the deal was sealed, wasn't it? He tried to give the money back. So remorse and depression set in. He realized what he had done to condemn his Messiah to death. He couldn't handle it. He had taken matters into his own hands. That was his sin. Now he has to take himself into his hands. And he did that. He attempted to hang himself. But the rope broke, and he smashed his, and his body was smashed to pieces on the rocks. There are times, you know, when we sin the same. There are times when we take matters into our own hands. When we think we know better. When we have the answers. We don't really think we're smarter than God, but our actions betray us. We attempt to do the work of God on our own cleverness and our own strength. We might attempt to force God's hand. We become impatient with God. Sometimes, He's really not the God of our expectations. And we try to make Him after our own image. The drive to do things our way is very strong. And we're all capable of denying our Lord. When Jesus said one would betray Him, in Matthew 26, verse 22, all of this, the disciples said, "Is it I? Am I the one?" So keeping Judas in mind, let's turn our attention to the case of Peter. Peter is also interesting. While it's possible to see ourselves in Judas, it's almost impossible not to see ourselves in Peter. Peter was impulsive, quick-spoken, full of emotion. But at the same time, he was also weak. He thought that he was loyal, even more loyal than the others. And it looks like he was less loyal than them all. When Jesus indicated that they would all forsake him, Peter replied, "Even though all may fall away, yet I will not." When Peter said that, I'm convinced that he meant it. But he misjudged himself, and so do we. What Peter had in mind was that he was willing to fight to the death for Jesus Christ. And I believe he was. He was ready to do that. Whenever they came out to take Jesus in the garden, it was Peter who drew the sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. So there's no doubt in my mind that Peter would have gladly fought beside Jesus Christ. Even to the death, he was that committed. You know, sometimes I think it would be easier to die for Christ than to live for him. So dying for Jesus was not Peter's problem. Living for him was. And even though Peter claimed that he would never fall away, Jesus told him that before the rooster crowed twice, Peter would deny him three times. And that is exactly what happened. So in a lot of ways, Peter was strong. But he was also weak. And in the face of fear, he denied Jesus Christ before the world. And after Jesus had been taken, all the disciples left him because they were scared. Peter made his way to the courtyard outside of where Jesus was being tried, and he was recognized by a servant girl. But he denied that he knew him. He moved away again. Again, the servant girl exclaimed that Peter was one of the disciples, and he denied it. A third time, he was approached about his allegiance to Jesus. With curses, he swore he did not know the man. Now, Peter was with him for 3.5 years, and he's cursing that he did not know this man. He heard the rooster crow a second time, and he realized what he had done. When Peter realized what he did, he was also sorry. And like Judas, he was sickened with his own failure. But Peter handled it differently. What did he do? He wept, and he was truly repentant. And eventually, Peter would be restored. So Judas took things into his own hands, and in some ways, so did Peter. But when they both failed, they handled that failure differently. Judas condemned himself. Peter threw himself on God's mercy. What would you have done had you been there? What are you doing now? What you would have done then is probably what you're doing today. You see, Jesus Christ is still opposed. I was watching Fox News last night, and they were showing the city of Chicago and the difference from 1970 to now, and it was the erasing of the middle class. And it was, they showed two maps, and the middle class is essentially gone. And the gentleman who was showing us this, showing that, said it was because there is no more church, there is no more family, and especially there is no more religion, whatever that religion was. So, as a pressure mounted in Jesus' day, so it mounts against the people who would follow him today. And we may think that, well, that may be true, maybe it's not, maybe we've got 15, 20, 30, 40 more years. Maybe, maybe not. But it's nothing to take lightly, because there is a time coming when it isn't going to be pleasant to be one of us. So just as the pressure began to mount in his day, so it mounts today against the people who would follow the philosophy of this age instead of Jesus Christ. Christians are no longer welcome in the American culture. Just Google the assassination of Christianity or some such thing on Google. See what you get. So when I look at Peter's denial of the Lord, I see myself all too clearly. Today, we still have the opportunity to represent Jesus Christ. We represent him before men, or we can deny him. I have to admit that I have denied him in my relationships with others, by my speech, and in my actions. Do I confess Jesus as my Lord, or do I deny that I know him? The choice is still the same. Either deny self or deny him. But the reality is that we all do deny him. The real question is, what do we do then? How do we respond? Do we respond like Judas by becoming depressed to the point of giving up? Well, that's one option, but it's the wrong option. That's what Satan would like us to do. He would like to paint us as unredeemable failures. He whispers in our ears, well, you failed again. You're good for nothing. He'll never forgive you for what you do. Why try? Just give up. Curse God and die. Or do we respond like Peter, with sincere remorse and repentance? When we fail to represent Christ, we have to respond with humble repentance. We all deny Christ, but we can all find forgiveness and restoration in Him. Repentance always leads to restoration. Jesus knew Peter had failed miserably. He also knew how Peter felt. It's great to notice, it's beautiful to notice actually, in the Gospels, how Jesus deals with Peter's failure. Peter dealt with it by experiencing godly sorrow. He felt his failure and quietly sought to resign his position in the group. What did he say? I'm going fishing. I can't do this. Fishing was his occupation. What he was saying was, I failed Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I guess I'll just go back to what I was doing before he called me. Many people have. He called me to follow him, and I failed him. I guess I'll go back to doing what I was doing before. But Jesus never leaves us to wallow in our own sorrow, does he? He comes to us. When Jesus had risen from the dead, the angel instructed the women to go tell Jesus' disciples and Peter. Peter was singled out by name. The angel was saying, make sure you tell Peter. And later at the end of John's Gospel, we find the story of Jesus' special encounter with Peter by the seaside. Peter had failed Jesus, and now Jesus was dealing with that failure. And I'm sure that Peter felt that failure pretty keenly. He was hurt, and he was confused. He was embarrassed, and he was humiliated. He was unworthy to sit with his Lord. Yet Jesus sought him out and dealt with his failure. And what happened was beautiful. We have the story in John 21, verses 15 through 17. They said, after they had finished breakfast, Jesus spoke first. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? The word Jesus used for love is a strong word. It's a form of the word agape. And it's characteristic of the love of God. In Peter's response, he didn't use the same word as Jesus. He used the form of the word philia, which has to do with affection or friendship. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter replied, you know that I'm your friend. And Jesus said, tend my lambs. But the encounter wasn't over. A second time, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Again, the strong word agape was used. And Peter replied, yes, Lord, you know I am your friend. And Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. And Jesus Christ pressed him a third time. Only this time, Jesus used Peter's word. In essence, saying, Simon, son of John, are you really my friend? And the scripture says, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And Peter was really grieved because Jesus used this word, are you really my friend? And Peter replied, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter was saying, you know my failure. You know that I love you. You know how I denied you three times. You know I can't bring myself to use your word. I'm unworthy of it. But you know my heart. You know that I'm your friend. And Jesus replied, "Tend my sheep." And what he was saying was, your denial is not greater than my love. You denied me 3 times, and 3 times I've forgiven you. Tend my sheep. Jesus dealt with each failure. Jesus loved both Judas and Peter. Judas gave up. Peter did not. In humble repentance, Peter found forgiveness and restoration. We all fail. In many ways, we all deny Jesus Christ. What we do then is what counts. Jesus Christ loved and forgave Peter, and he continues to love and forgive us too.